those part of the Vedas which directly emanate from the Lord Himself, and they are unchangeable, and they are philosophical by nature. Examples of the Shruti are the Upanishads, the Bhagavad Gita, these kind of literatures. The Gita is called Gita Upanishad. It is philosophy. There's no story within the Gita. So generally within the Shruti, you just have the philosophical portion of the Vedas, which is the description of the philosophy directly coming from the Lord Himself, unchangeable. And then the second division of the Vedic literature is called Smriti. Smriti means remembrance. Now, this part of the Vedas includes the Puranas, the Itihasas, the Mahabharata, the Ramayana, this portion of the Vedas. Smriti means remembrance. So these literatures are generally spoken by the sages. And it is coming from their remembrance. And generally, it is spoken in the form of events which have taken place in the history of the universe. There are stories attached. Or the philosophy is delivered within story form. Now, within Kali Yuga, the Puranas, or this Smriti portion, is considered to be more important because very hard for people to remember things these days. You tell someone something, can you do this for me? And then they come back to you 5 minutes later, they say, what was that that you said? Or you ask someone, can you do this tomorrow? And then they'll come back to you, or they totally forgot. Even like last night, I was supposed to meet someone for dinner. And I rang them and said, I can't make it, I'm running late. We had a retreat on the weekend and it's just been very busy, I can't quite make it. And they said, oh, that's okay, I forgot anyway. Yeah, close family member. These Kali Yuga families were like this. So this is the nature of the Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga means memory is, everything diminishes in Kali Yuga. Everything diminishes in Kali Yuga. People get smaller. You read in the 12th canto, at the end of Kali Yuga, 400,000 years from now, the tallest person is about that high, is about 3 foot high. That's a tall person. Most of them are like, you know, about that high. Little black people who just run around and eat each other. That's how it all finishes up. But in Kali Yuga, everything diminishes, including the memory. And you see, as you get older, your memory diminishes. I'm old now, so I'm only middle-aged, according to my lifespan. But my memory's already not as sharp as it was. You notice things deteriorate. Now I'm taking Brahmi powder. Ayurvedic herbs. And actually, I noticed the difference. It actually works. You have to do it, otherwise everything disappears in due course of time. I'm taking some very good powders. I'm taking Arjuna. Arjuna is for the heart. Brahmi. And Brahmi is for the brain. Ashwagandha. Ashwagandha is for the nervous system. And what's the other one? Trifala. Trifala purifies the intestines. That clears the intestines. So you need help. In Kali Yuga, we need all the help we can get. So take whatever you can get. But it actually helps, these things. So the memory diminishes in Kali Yuga. Memory goes down like that. So therefore, why are we given the... why are the Puranas, or the Smriti portion of the Vedas, why are they considered more important in Kali Yuga? Because you can remember. You remember a story. Everyone likes to hear stories. If you hear a class just on philosophy, right, unless the person is very exalted and very expert and very knowledgeable, most people fall asleep. Like when Banaswami speaks, he speaks philosophy. He doesn't speak pastimes, generally. Yeah, once in a while he'll say something pastime, but generally it's just philosophy. But no one falls asleep because he is exalted, he is learned. Right? He's so knowledgeable. We want to hear, what is he going to say? You know, I save all my questions for 6 months until Banaswami comes, and then I ask all the questions, things I don't understand, because he is extremely knowledgeable. But generally, we need to hear pastimes. So therefore, Within the Vedic literature, there are two divisions. One is the Shruti, one is the philosophy, and one is the Smriti. Smriti means the pastimes. So the Puranas and the Bhagavad Purana, the Srimad Bhagavatam, is considered to be the topmost of all the Vedic literatures. It is the final work of Srila Vyasadeva, and it is the essence of all the Vedas, and all of the philosophies contained within pastimes or stories. So we are given these pastimes, we are given these stories, so that we can understand the philosophy of the Vedas. This is the final philosophy. Now, how do the pastimes unfold? It is question and answers. Now, in the beginning of the 10th canto, I think Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that three people get benefited when Shastra is spoken, when there is a Bhagavatam class. The speaker gets benefited, the listener gets benefit, and the questioner gets benefit. So who gets the most benefit? The speaker, because he has to stay awake. How many times have you seen the speaker fall asleep? I've seen it once or twice. His Holiness Jayapataka Swami is so tired because he pushes himself so much. I remember he came here about 10 years ago. He was giving class, and in the middle of the class, he's just going. And then he bounced back, and then he kept giving class like that. He's pushing himself so much. So even when he's giving class, he was tired. But generally, the person giving class does not fall asleep. So the person who speaks, he gets the most benefit because you're really listening to what you're saying. That's why we get purified when we preach. That's why Prabhupada pushed us to preach. We have to explain the philosophy to others, and then you get purified. Burujan Prabhu instructed me. He said, if you really want to learn something, you have to teach it. If you really want to learn the Bhagavatam, you have to teach the Bhagavatam. If you really want to learn Bhagavad Gita, you have to teach Bhagavad Gita. Then you get the most benefit because you are the speaker. And my Guru Maharaj, he told me, I think he wrote me a letter. I'd only been a devotee a couple of years, and he gave me an instruction. He said, whenever you get the opportunity to give class, then give class. Right? So if anyone ever asks me to give class, I give class. Even if it's 1 minute. You know, even if someone says, oh, there's no one to give class, can you give? I say, yeah, I'll give. Because my guru gave me that instruction. Give class as much as you can. Because then you learn the philosophy. You have to repeat it to others. Prabhupada says, explain it in your own words. Then you really understand the philosophy. So you have to preach. Don't just study, study, study. The more you give this knowledge, the more you receive this knowledge. So you can study all day long, but if you don't explain it to anyone else, you don't really imbibe it fully. So that is the system. The system, the more you give it, then. And then who gets the second most benefit? The questioner. Yeah, the one who actually asks the questions, because he's awake. He's listening. Or do I understand this? Do I not understand this? Because his mind is awake and alert and he's intelligent, then he gets the benefit. So then, have you ever gone to a class where you didn't learn something? Have you ever gone to a class where you didn't get very much out of the class? I have. I've gone to some class and just wasn't very... But I never went to a class where I didn't get anything. We always get something from the class. So that is because we are alert. If you're alert, then you will benefit. If you're asleep, you will not benefit. Therefore, it is an injunction, actually. Do not sleep in the Bhagavatam class. It's actually an aparada. Aparada means an offense. If you want to take rest, go and take rest. But don't sleep in the temple. It says in Nectar of Devotion, if you sleep in the temple, it is aparada. You're sleeping in front of Radha and Krishna. That is offense. Or you're sleeping in front of the Bhagavatam, that is offense. Or in front of the Guru or the Vaishnavas, that is offense. In the temple room, do not fall asleep. So you have to stay awake. But more important, it's not the person who is falling asleep, it's the person who is speaking the class. If he's not speaking in a way that's enlivening everyone will fall asleep. So it is the responsibility of the person who gives the class to keep everyone awake. Therefore, my spiritual master, he said to me, he said, always prepare properly for your classes. So you will benefit the devotees. When they sit down, they will get benefit. So we have to prepare the class. But sometimes devotees are overly prepared. It's like they have a script in front of them. You know, they're sitting there and they're reading. And then it says, and then Krishna said that. Right? And then Arjuna said, and then Prahlad Maharaj said, and then Dhruva Maharaj did this. It's like, then it becomes boring. Right? It's just like someone's reading a script. It's not easy to understand. So therefore, you should prepare, but you should allow the philosophy to flow. When you give class, I think Burujan Prabhu said, I can't remember, but I heard this many, many years ago. So basically, when you give class, you have three main points that you want to put across to the audience. That's enough. That's enough for one class. Class only goes for half an hour to an hour or something. 3 points is enough. And then you'll embellish it and you'll elaborate. Prabhupada said, speak in spiritual circles. Right? So you're giving class and then you speak and then you go off. And then you come back. But you come back to your point. Sometimes we go off and we never actually get back. You know, we just keep going and then like that. But the class, we should have the point. The point should be made and we should keep coming back. What is the point? What is the point? What is the point? 3 points is enough, generally, in a class. That's basically, if you get 3 things across. Just like if I go and give a public seminar, then if I'm going to speak in public to non-devotees, to devotees it's a little different, but to non-devotees I have 3 points. Right? I want them to understand the benefit of the holy name. Right? I want them to understand the benefit of prasadam. And I want them to understand that they are not the body, they are the soul. And if I get these 3 points across, then if I say other things, that's okay. But they're the 3 points. So when we give class, it should be direct. So it is the responsibility of the speaker to keep everyone awake. That is the responsibility when you're giving class. So the Bhagavatam is made up of questions and answers. Because you see here, there's a whole section of questions by Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit is saying to Sukadeva Goswami, what about this? And what about that? And what about this? And then what happened? Right? And this is how we learn. As we said, the person who makes the inquiries, he gets the most benefit. This is how we learn. Therefore, Krishna says, what is the system in the Bhagavad Gita? He gives you a system. What is the 4th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita called? Transcendental knowledge. What is that in Sanskrit? What is the 4th chapter called? Each chapter. Chapter 3 is Karma Yoga. Right? Chapter 4 is Jnana Yoga. Right? Transcendental knowledge. Right? How to reach Krishna through Jnana. Right? So Krishna says, if you go through the 4th chapter, the first 10 verses or so, he's explaining a different point. He's explaining how transcendental knowledge comes into this world, how he comes into this world. You know, he says a few other, but then he goes into, chapter 4 is different categories. But from around about verse 20, then he begins to discuss how we receive transcendental knowledge. And he says, you receive it like this, you receive it like that. Brahmacharis will do it like that. Grihasthas will do it like that. There are different ways that you will get knowledge or realization. But then he gives the summary verse. Right? What is the best way to get knowledge? And actually, Srila Prabhupada even indicated that verse, 434, which everyone in ISKCON knows, right? Prabhupada said that's practically the most important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Where does Krishna speak? A devotee actually asked Prabhupada one time, said, where does Krishna speak about guru in the Bhagavad Gita? Tadvidi, pranipatena, pariprasnena, sevaya, upadekshanti, te jnanam. Gyanayas tattva darshana. You have to approach a tattva darshana. Tattva darshi. Someone who is seeing the truth. Tattva. Tattva means truth. Bhagavatam says in the very first verse, one of the points of the Bhagavatam is to make us understand the difference between reality and illusion. Right? Matter and spirit. Right? Truth and untruth. That is the purpose of the Bhagavatam. So we have to approach someone who understands the difference. Someone who is fixed. Nishta means fixed in the absolute truth. So we approach that person. Now when you approach the person and you ask the questions, what is the attitude? What does Krishna say? Just try to understand the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire submissively. You must be submissive. Right? Hands up if you think you know everything. One honest person amongst us. Ramai Swami, he used to call one devotee, he used to call him Mr. A to Z. He said he knows everything about everything. Right? We think we know everything about everything. You know, you're telling someone, yeah, I know about that. Yeah, I know that. I know that. I know that. But that is the position of the conditioned soul. He thinks he knows everything. But Krishna says, approach the guru submissively. Right? And render service unto him. This is the point. When you have a service attitude, Divya Gyan flows into your heart. Divya Gyana, Hriday, Prakashito. Right? Spiritual knowledge comes into your heart when you have a service attitude. If you don't do service, you can't extricate or you can't benefit or you can't extract spiritual knowledge from the books. I remember when I was a brahmachari, I used to study a lot. Right? But sometimes I'd read the books, but I wasn't getting anything out of it. And then I understood after some time, it's because I wasn't surrendering. My service attitude was not correct. Right? Now, unless you do practical service, right, then you can't understand the Bhagavatam. Right? You can read the Bhagavatam all day long, but you won't understand very much at all. Right? But when you do practical service, then when you read the Bhagavatam, you'll get so much realization. Divya Gyan, Hriday Prakashito. Hridaya means the heart becomes illuminated with knowledge. You will understand things. In our class last night, Prabhupada said that one who understands Krishna understands everything. So when you understand Krishna, when you understand the Bhagavatam, you understand everything. It means as it is. It means you understand the world and the creation in the proper perspective. Everything becomes understood to you. It means, doesn't mean you understand everything about every single detail about everything. Only Krishna knows that. Just like the reporter said to Prabhupada, do you know everything? And Prabhupada said, yes. And the reporter said, how many windows are there in the Empire State Building? Prabhupada said, how many drops of water are there in a mirage? Who cares? Who cares? How many windows are there in the Empire State Building? Do you know? I looked it up on Google. I'm the only one in this room who knows. And I will never tell you. Who cares? Who cares? It doesn't matter. Right? So Prabhupada said, the reporter said, do you understand everything? Prabhupada said, yes. How many windows? Prabhupada said, how many drops of water in the mirage? It doesn't matter. But Prabhupada does know everything because he knows Krishna. If you know Krishna, you know everything because you understand how everything works. You understand Krishna and how everything relates to Krishna. You understand the five truths of the Bhagavad Gita. Ishwara, Prakriti, Jiva, Kala, and Karma. If you understand that, you understand everything because there's nothing else beyond that. So if we approach someone who has this knowledge, he understands the truth, then we can also understand the truth. So you have to have the proper attitude when you approach him. So it says there are 9 processes of bhakti, right? And the first two are Shravanam and Kirtanam, and they are the most important. Right? Shravanam, Kirtanam, hearing and chanting. Right? Prabhupada said he was actually marked by his guru Maharaj. Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur. Right? What did Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur say? What's that? Yeah, he says he met Prabhupada, and he only met Prabhupada 6 times or so. They only actually physically met around about 6 times. So when Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur met Srila Prabhupada again, he hadn't seen him for many years, early 1930s. Then they introduced, this is a Bhai Charanara, Babu, like this. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, yes, I have marked him. He likes to hear. He does not go away. No. So he marked the disciple. The guru notices the disciple. He likes to hear. And actually, it says that the most important service you render to the guru is hearing the Bhagavatam from him. Just hearing the Bhagavatam. That's the one. You do many services for the guru, but the most important is just hearing the Bhagavatam. Have you ever missed the guru's class? Have you ever been chastised by the guru for missing his class? Me and my godbrothers did. My guru came one time, and we stayed in the kitchen for the whole class, cutting up the fruit and making the orange juice for breakfast. And he was not very happy. And when he came out into the dining room over there, he chastised us. Where were you? I come here once a year and you're not there for my class. Oh, Guru Maharaj, we were cutting up the fruit, three of us. He just looked at us in disbelief. Three of you had to cut up fruit and make orange juice? What sort of people are you? Not very practical, is it? Not that so. So the point is that we should, whenever we serve, it should be practical. And we should hear from the guru. That's how we become purified. We need to hear. So Maharaj Parikshit, in the nine processes of bhakti, the first two are Shravanam and Kirtanam. Right? Shravanam means hearing. And who was the perfect hearer? Right? It was Parikshit Maharaj. And Kirtan means speaking. Who was the perfect speaker? It was Shukadeva Goswami. And what does that lead to? Why do we do Shravanam and Kirtanam? Hearing and chanting, hearing and chanting, hearing and chanting, hearing and chanting, hearing and chanting. What, that's all we do as devotees. Right? We're brainwashed. We're a cult. Right? Hearing and chanting, 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 hearing and chanting. You can't even speak to devotees half the time because they've got like headphones, you know. Prabhuji. Just hearing and chanting, hearing and chanting, hearing and chanting. That's all we do. We're materially dysfunctional. We're not normal. Hearing and chanting, hearing and chanting. That's all we do. Right? So what is the, why are we doing all of that? Why do you do that?
Remember Krishna.
What's that? Yeah, to remember Krishna. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. What is the goal of Krishna consciousness? What's the last thing Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita? Mamana Bhava Mad Bhakto. Mamana, always think of me. What is the overriding principle of all devotional principles? Always remember Krishna. Never forget Krishna. Where does that come from? Shravanam Kirtanam. Right? If you're doing Shravanam Kirtanam, you're not remembering Krishna, then what are you doing? That means you are a robot. You are a cult member. But the whole point of the Shravanam and the Kirtanam, hearing and chanting, is to remember Krishna. So what happened? Ante Narayana Smriti. Shukadev spoke, right? And by his speaking, he was remembering Krishna. When you get to the 10th canto, it says, he was so absorbed in remembering Radha and Krishna, because Shukadev Goswami, Shuka, he is the parrot of Radharani. Radha and Krishna, when they're on the earth, when they display their pastimes, he was the parrot, Radha's parrot. He was inside the groves, the Nikunja. He saw everything. He witnessed every pastime. Right? But when they left, Krishna said, stay, right, and teach. So then he took birth as Shukadev, son of Vyas. Right? But he was so absorbed in remembrance. In the 10th canto, the Acharyas say that he can't even say Radha's name. That's why her name is not mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Even though she's the topmost devotee, and the whole Bhagavatam, in one sense, is just to glorify her love for Krishna. Right? But he can't even say her name. Right? The Acharyas say if he had have said her name, he would have gone into trance, samadhi. Parikshit Maharaj is sitting there, right? He gets to the 10th canto, he starts speaking about Radha, and then he just goes, and he locks into chant, and that's it, the Bhagavatam's finished. No 11th canto, no 12th canto. So he doesn't need, so he's so deeply absorbed in remembrance through his kirtan. That's the point of kirtan, to remember Krishna. What are we supposed to be doing? We do these kirtan melas, you know, we're sitting there chanting for 24 hours a day. We're supposed to be remembering Krishna. That's what we're leading towards. That's what all this is going towards. Haridas Thakur was Namacharya. And how long did he chant for every day? 192 rounds. How long does that take, 192 rounds? It's most of the day. It's most of the day. There's not much time for anything else. Have you ever chanted 192 rounds? Ever done it? Ever chanted 64? Hands up, anyone 64? 64? 128? Anyone? Anyone? 128? So none of us have chanted, but 192, right? Every day, 192. The prostitute came. Two times the prostitute came. One was Maya herself. The other one was another prostitute who came. She was sent by the Qazi, the Nawab. They sent it to make him fall down. So the prostitute came, and he was so absorbed in chanting. He said, just stay here. I will satisfy you, but just let me finish my rounds. So she sat there. He finished his rounds. She said, now we can enjoy. He said, I could enjoy, but now I have to chant tomorrow's rounds. So just sit here. When I'm finished, then we'll enjoy. So then he goes through the next day's rounds. And then on the third day, she says, can we enjoy? He said, just let me finish my rounds for today. I still have to finish. So after 3 days of association with Haridas, right, and hearing the chanting, she also became a devotee. And Maya also became purified. So that is the result of kirtan. Kirtan, when we're chanting, how could Haridas Thakur chant for 3 days non-stop? How could he chant 192 rounds a day? Because while he's chanting, he's remember Ashtakaliya Leela. Right? As he chants throughout the day, he goes through Krishna's pastimes in his mind. It's called Swarasiki chanting. It means your mind is following like a river, flowing through Krishna's morning pastimes, through his mid-morning pastimes, through his midday pastimes, through the afternoon, through the evening, through the late evening, through the midnight, and then back through the... So this is what we're meant to be doing. A kirtan is meant to lead us to smaranam. And shravanam is also meant to lead us to smaranam. That's why we're hearing. Parikshit was hearing, and what was he doing? Hearing, 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 and he was remembering Krishna. Parikshit means the person who was looking for Krishna. Right? He spent his whole life looking for him. He just wanted to remember him. He was thinking about him all the time. So by hearing, that was absorbing his consciousness in Krishna. So that is why we're doing all this Shravanam and Kirtanam. That is the point. So then all these questions, now when you're listening nicely, you become enlivened. And when you're enlivened, you want to ask more questions. Just like it says that sometimes the Mayapur Acharyas, Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, Gorkashodas Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, sometimes they would all come together and they would hear the Bhagavatam. Bhakti Vinod Thakur would give class and everyone else would be there. Right, all four of them. Can you imagine? Would you like to be in that class? Bhaktivinoda Thakur and all four of them together. And it says that Gorkashore Das Babaji Maharaj was very animate. Whenever there was a good point, he would say, ah. Good point. He was very animate. When the Bhaktivinoda Thakur was speaking, he was very enlivened. Just like Jayendra Prabhu sometimes gets like that. I'm giving class and he goes, ah. So the point is, he was awake. What did Bhaktisananda Saraswati Thakur says? Bhaktisananda Saraswati Thakur says that if you have life, you can preach. If you don't have any life, you can't preach. That's why people fall asleep in class, because there's no life. You're giving class. You look around, like, if you looked around, half the people are asleep. Because you don't have any life. Bhaktisananda Saraswati Thakur said, if you have life, you can preach. Hands up if you're alive. Then when you preach, Then you can preach, put some life into it. Right? Then everyone will become enlivened by the class. So, when the question and answers are going on, then the person who is inquiring, then he is enlivened and he is asking more questions. What is that? What is that? What is that? So this is basically what's taking place in this section. Is Parikshit is saying, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? Right? And this is the way it should be when we come before our spiritual master. Prabhupada said, if we are reading his books, then when you come to class, you will have questions. Right? If there's no questions, it means either the class was so good and so comprehensive, it just covered everything. Right? Or you're not reading the books. Or Prabhupada said, you just agree with everything. But generally, there should be that mood. I want to know more. I want to know more. You know, especially when there's a very advanced devotee there. You know, when Banaswami comes, I'm just sitting there. I'm just waiting. I wonder, what's he going to say? What's he going to say? You know, because he's intricate. And he goes into places where no one else practically in our movement, most those can't even enter. And he gets inside there, and then he can understand the difference between. You know, I've been studying this philosophy for a long time, but then sometimes I hear him give class, and there's things I didn't understand properly. So you have to come to the class with that kind of attitude. And that's what Parikshit is doing here. So Parikshit is saying, please explain about time. What is the nature of time in the material world? Right? Past, present, and future. So what is present? Because right? We also have three modes of nature. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. So what is present? Which mode? Yeah, goodness. Right? Goodness is present. Right? What is past? Yeah, tamas. And what is future? Passion. Right? So where are you? Which one are you living in? Right? Because you see some people, right? They're always in the past. Oh, that happened to me. That happened. She left me. He left me. They left me. Everyone left me. Right? So people spend their whole lives like that, every day. You know, in music, in the West, we have a type of music called blues. Blues, that's all it is. You know, when my baby left me, Heartbreak Hotel. That's all it's about. It's just tamaguin. When my baby left me, who cares? She's gone, man. She's not coming back. I was selling books years ago. And then I stopped one lady on the street and I said to her, I said something about happiness in this world. I said, you know, do you want to be happy? She goes, of course I want to be happy. And I said, you know, are you happy? She goes, I'm not happy. My husband's an idiot. You know, this is the material world. Yeah. Most of us in this world are idiots. Right? That's when Lord Shiva carries the glance, you know, when the Lord glances at the material world, right? Krishna glances, or Vishnu glances at the material world, and who carries the glance? That is Shiva, Shambhu. He carries the glance, and he is known as Tamasi. Tamasi means mode of ignorance. He carries the mode of ignorance. He, that potency, he rules over that. So that means everyone in this world is stupefied or infected by the mode of ignorance, and that's why everyone is idiotic in this material world. Because we're all affected by that base mode of ignorance. Right? So if you're living in the past, right, that's tamagun. Right? And that's what the whole world's doing. Oh, she left me, that one left me, that one. That's tamagun. Okay, live there if you want, but then it doesn't do anything. Right? If you want to stay in tamagun, yeah, live there. And then what is the passion? Because Prabhupada says of the three modes, passion is the most prominent in this world. Right, so what is passion? Something I'm going to have tomorrow. Right? Something I'm going to have next year. I'll work all my life, right, so that I can enjoy that. Or I work hard just so on the weekend I can enjoy. Or I work hard all week just so on the weekend I can sleep. You know, just like one time we were having an initiation upstairs and devotee was blowing, Sunday morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, we're doing an initiation, devotee's blowing the conch shell. You know, ooh, ooh, ooh. So the guy from across the road, the Greek guy, walks across the road in his dressing gown, walks into the temple and said, "Can you stop blowing that horn?" He said, "I work all week hard just so I can sleep in on Sunday. And you're just going, ooh." So that's motive passion. Motive passion means I work so I can enjoy in the future. Not that I'm enjoying now, right? But I'll work so I can enjoy in the future. I'll get something in the future. That's motive passion. But it never comes, right? It never turns out the way you want it. Hands up if your material life ever turned out the way you wanted it to. Doesn't work. You know, I had my life mapped out. And it's totally derailed. You know, my life's a train wreck. You know, I had it all mapped out. It's going to be like this, and then it's just gone. It's off. So motive passion means you're always living for something, but it never comes. Right? It's a mirage in the desert. You're trying to get to it, but you never quite get there. That is motive passion. So we should not live in the motive passion. Always I'll work, and then I'll be happy. Just like Shivaram Swami gave an example that this couple from Brazil, they had two kids, and their dream holiday was Hawaii. Prabhupada said, if there's one place in this world you can be happy, it is Hawaii. It's not true, but you know. So they worked for years, because Brazil, the economy is not as strong. They had to work for years to get their dream holiday, 2 weeks in Hawaii. So they flew there, the two kids, the husband and wife, got an apartment on the 13th floor, you know, overlooking Honolulu or wherever it was, you know, so they could enjoy. Got up there, and then it rained for 2 weeks. It was their dream. And they were so upset, all four of them jumped off the balcony and killed themselves. All four of them. Why? Motive passion. Because you didn't get what you want. You can't always get what you want. Well, all these things have already been written. It's already been written. The Rolling Stones were gurus. They wrote all these songs and they're all true. Right? What a mix say. I can't get no satisfaction. And I try, and I try, and I try, and I try. They all understood it. Now, if you listen to The Doors, if you listen to Rolling Stones, even the Beatles, right? If you listen to all the songs, they've worked it all out. They're not living in the philosophy because they haven't realized it, but they worked it all out. You can't be happy in this material world. Right? So motive passion thinks, yeah, tomorrow everything will be okay. Don't worry. Because tomorrow everything will be okay. That's the motive passion. So you work hard now, but that's useless. So Bhagavatam is saying, don't live in the past, don't live in the future. Live today, live now. Right? Bhagavatam says, one moment pure, it says in the second canto, beginning of the second canto, one moment pure consciousness, that is perfection. One moment full consciousness of Radha and Krishna, that is perfection. So we're meant to live in the present, which is sattva guna. That's the only way you can advance. And when you chant your japa, because our japa is our most important service, if you're chanting, but your mind is in yesterday, or your mind is in tomorrow, you don't get the benefit of the chanting. You get the benefit of the chanting when your mind is now. Right, that is goodness. So you have to learn to control your mind. And actually, Sanatana Goswami says there are six steps, or six instructions for japa, for mantra meditation, and one of them is mind control. You don't get control of the mind, there's no benefit. There's little benefit. So you have to control the mind. So now, he's saying, tell us about past, tell us about present, tell us about future. That's all these things that we discussed. These questions, because it's chapter 8 now, there's not much time. Most of these questions get answered in Canto 3. Canto 3 goes right into time in a very elaborate way. And he's asking about creation. Creation really gets spoken about in Canto 3. A little bit here, but then Canto 3. Creation gets spoken about three times in Canto 3. there's three huge sections on creation in Canto 3. So we'll stop here, see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed. You're not the body. You're not the body. Then don't preach to them. Because it says in the 10 offenses of the holy name, don't preach the glories of the holy name to a faithless person. Yeah, well, prasadam, you say it's sanctified because it's offered to God. So when you preach to someone, it's like when the mother feeds the baby. When the mother feeds the baby with her breast, right? She's always attentive. If I give too much milk, right, the baby begins to regurgitate. If I give too less milk, the baby cries because it's hungry. So when you're preaching, you have to be like the mother feeding the baby. When you preach, you have to see, is this too much for this person? Or is this too little for this person? So you have to be expert, just like a mother is expert. Right? Why are we still alive? Because our mothers are expert. Otherwise, all of us would be dead. Right? Because the mother is so attentive. So when you preach to someone, you have to be attentive. And sometimes you think, oh, I just want to give Krishna to everyone. I just want to give Krishna to this person. But too much Krishna is not a good thing sometimes. So you have to be expert how much to give. So you tell them that prasadam is blessed. It is offered to God, it's blessed. But if you can see they're not assimilating it, you just back off. You just say, just have a samosa. Is it okay? Any other question? How can there be a Shruti within a Smriti? Ask Bhanuswami. I can't give a definitive. I could say something, but I can't give something definitive or Shastric or anything like that. It's there. It's within them. Bhanuswami. Oh, who's coming next? Who's the next Swami? Ramai Swami is coming actually. Ask Ramai Swami next week. He can give you. I could say something. I don't know why it's there. So. Doesn't really matter why it's there. It's a good book. There's a 24-hour kirtan or something?
Yeah, the one from here, let's say, if I go to the first, on the wind, only X or Y kids, but I don't like to hear on the one I hear, on the wind, my life, I was chanting, and
then
no one else
chants. If you have ruchi, ruchi means taste, Vasudev Kata ruchi, it means you'll have a taste for the Bhagavatam no matter who's speaking. The Bhagavatam says in the second chapter of the first canon, it says we have to develop Vasudev Kata ruchi. Vasudev Kata means. So I said during the class that, you know, I mean, I have my favorite speakers. You know, it's people I really like to hear from. So, you know, I definitely go to those classes, but we can't neglect all the other classes. That's not the principle. Because the principle is Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Nitya means always. And the Acharyas actually say, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, those 7 days. That's why Prakshat heard in 7 days, because it was every day of the week. That is the meaning of Nityam. Nityam means every day we should be there. I mean, out of practicality. I mean, when I, because I used to live right, you know, just behind the temple here, so, and I was a grihastha. When I was a brahmachari, I came, you know, probably nearly every day. What's going on with the brahmacharinis? That's another point. Huh? What happened to Mangalati? As a brahmacharini, you're supposed to be at Mangalati, right? And you're supposed to be at the kirtan, Guru Puja and kirtan, right? And Bhagavatam class. Everyone just comes for Bhagavatam class. I stayed for 1 week last week from Gaur Panim when I did that course. I was here every day for the morning program and I wasn't seeing. Right? It's not very good. Right? You have to do something about this. Okay. Brahmacharis are good. They're coming. But the brahmacharis are not coming. It's not good. So the system is you should be there. Right? So when you're a brahmachari, brahmacharini, you should be there most of the time. I think I was there like at least 5 days a week, something like that. When I was a grihastha, I probably dropped back to about 4 days a week or something because of, you know, you have responsibilities and like that. But the principle is you should be there. And if you become, you know, it's not really a Vaishnava principle and etiquette that you will judge other Vaishnavas too much. You know, like, I'll hear from that one, but I won't hear from that one. Because then it's like a subtle kind of, like almost like a subtle kind of offensive mentality can creep in. I mean, we do have, like, I definitely have my favorite speakers, but it doesn't mean I won't come and listen to someone else. And sometimes you come and you think, oh, that person, you know, I won't get so much out of their class, and they give a really a good class. And with kirtan, it's the same thing. Because I do, every year we go for these kirtan retreats and japa retreats, holy name retreats with Sachinanda and Swami and Buruja and Prabhu and other devotees. And one day we go to Varshana and we do a 12-hour kirtan. It goes in the morning, starts about 9, goes about 9 at night. And then what I try to do during that kirtan, because everyone obviously turns up, you know, in Sachinanda and Swami, everyone's there, you know, and then Lokanath Swami comes and everyone's there. And then, you know, all the big guns, all the big, you know, kirtan leaders, everyone comes. But I just try to stay for everything. Although physically I can't do it, I can't physically sit there for 12 hours. I have to go and eat and have a little rest and finish my rounds, but maybe take a bath. But I try to be there. The principle is I try to stay for the whole thing. Some of the kirtans during the day, when there's only less devotees there and someone you don't even know who the devotee is, and the kirtan's wonderful. So if you want to develop Nama Ruchi or Vasudev Kata Ruchi, you just have to have that principle that I will listen to the Bhagavatam, I will listen to the holy name regardless of where it's coming from. It's not wrong. It's not wrong. You know, it's just like just like when we have a feast, everyone has their favorite items. You know, so yeah, we like our favorite items, so more of that one. It doesn't mean we neglect everything else. We just have more of that. So, does that give clarification? Any other question? And brahmacharinis have to get onto this, you know. I notice you guys are not coming for the Mangalati and the I don't know where you're chanting your japa and when you're chanting your japa. And not coming for the Guru Puja and the kirtan, it's not good. Prabhupada, the system is from 4:30 to 8:30, you should be just in the temple or in Prabhupada's room, you should just be doing that. Unless you have designated service, which should be maybe 1 or 2 days a week. The rest of the time you should be there. Should be some improvement. If we don't see improvement, something's going to happen. Okay.
Prabhu, you mentioned that the answer of Vishnu is held by Shambhu, not the material world. So, which is this Shambhu? Is it the Sadashiva?
No, Sadashiva is in the spiritual world. Sadashiva doesn't come to the material world.
So, is this the Shambhu that looks after the material world? Is it?
Yeah, Shiva. Shiva has many forms. The original form of Shiva is Vishnu. Shiva is Vishnu. That's Sadashiva. He has a Vaikuntha planet. Right? But when he comes into the material world, then he becomes... The difference between Vishnu and Shiva is when Vishnu comes into the material world, he doesn't touch matter. There's no direct contact. Shiva is Vishnu, but when he comes into the material world, he has contact with matter, who's his wife, Parvati, right? Who is Maya, personified. So he comes in, he has contact with her, and therefore he is... a different category or a different tattva. You have Vishnu tattva, Jiva tattva, Shakti tattva, Shiva tattva. So that is the difference. Brahma Samhita says that when you take milk and you put in the curdling agent, the milk becomes yogurt, right? But yogurt cannot become milk, right? So Shiva cannot become Vishnu again. He is now he's Shiva, and Vishnu is Vishnu, so it's different. But the original form is like that. So he has many forms. Rudra, he has, you know, the different... Shiva has many, many forms. He does many things. So whenever he's in the material world, that's Shiva. That's not Sadashiva. That's... Is that okay? What is his function? His function is his God. What does God do? He rules Vaikuntha. He's Vaikunthanath. He's God. That's his function. And he expands into the material world as Shiva. Like that. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. That's talk. The greatest devotee, because the Bhagavatam says the greatest devotee in the 12th canto, the greatest devotee is Shambhu, Shiva. But he's not the greatest of the guru. The greatest devotee is Radha. So when it says Vaishnavanam yata shambhu, that means in the material world, Shiva's the greatest devotee. But if you read Brihad Bhagavatam Rita, beyond Shiva is Prahlad Maharaj, beyond Prahlad Maharaj is Hanuman, beyond Hanuman is Arjuna, beyond Arjuna is Uddhava, beyond Uddhava is the bridge buses, beyond the bridge buses is Radharani. So that's the system. Is that okay? Any other question? Negative attitude towards Maya, we're in Maya. Maya can catch us anytime. Maya's caught us. There's no catching. We're already caught. You're in Maya. You're in Maya all day long. You think you're the material body. So we're in Maya. That's Maya. So we're already in Maya. Like that. So what is the point of disrespecting Parvati? You should be praying to Parvati. Please release me. Please, or you approach Krishna, Mama Maya Durachaya, Mameva Ye Prabhajanti. And Krishna says, if you surrender to me, I will tell Parvati to release you and then you can come back to me. So we respect her. She's a great devotee. Shiva's a great devotee. Is that okay? Anything else? Okay, Srila Prabhupada Ki.